broadcast service of Auburn Network Incorporated. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill here in the WOW Business Studio, where you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Switch details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Dan is on assignment. No, Dan's got Troy. Dan's got the final home. I think he said it's senior night for the Troy women's basketball team. He's down in Troy, and he'll have that. But it should be a fun show here on this Friday. Always fun when we have some time with Hall of Famer Sonny Smith, who will join us at the bottom of the hour. We're also going to be talking with Scott Bagwell about the news, football recruiting news involving Auburn High. The other day, Auburn, it was reported that Court Bradley, outstanding offensive lineman at Auburn High, going to be a preferred walk-on at Auburn. And then yesterday comes news that Powell Gordon, outstanding linebacker, has received a scholarship offer from Auburn. So we'll talk to Scott about those guys. And as we look forward, Auburn High School still without, you know, a head coach. But as we said, there's no big rush on that. Auburn baseball just getting underway over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. Would have loved to have been there for opening day. I love opening day. That's something, you know, we can toss out there for you. You know, what is your favorite opening day? What sport? And do you have any memorable opening days? Are there some special opening day memories? For Auburn, the lineup today against Presbyterian, the Blue Hose. Judd Ward leading off in left field. Ryan Bliss batting second at shortstop. Bryson Ware is the designated hitter, hitting third. That tells you how impressive the newcomer has been. We talked about him leading the team this fall and in preseason in home runs. Rankin Woley is hitting cleanup at third base. Tyler Miller batting fifth at first base. Steven Williams catching and batting sixth. Kaysen Howell in center field batting seventh. Josh Hall, the Ole Miss transfer, in right field hitting eighth. And Brody Moore playing second base and batting ninth. And Cody Greenhill on the mound for the Tigers. So we will keep you updated on the baseball going on over on campus. A beautiful afternoon. It's a little chilly, but it is gorgeous. I mean, compared to the last few days, you couldn't ask for much better in February for an opening day like the Tigers have today against Presbyterian. So again, we'll keep you updated. Presbyterian at bat in the top of the first, one down for Cody Greenhill. So we'll keep you updated on that. The other big news of the day here, you know, something we talked about at length yesterday, and that is the status and now the freedom. He is free. He's been Dylan Brooks, the outstanding Hanley defensive end outside linebacker, had, you know, asked for a release from his national letter of intent, which he signed with Tennessee back in December, only to a few days later realize that the coach he had was promised would be there, Jeremy Pruitt, was no longer. And when he asked, long before Tennessee had an athletics director or a new head coach in Danny White and Josh Heupel, respectively, he asked for his release. And as we had learned earlier this week, I mean, schools are are allowed 30 days to render a decision as to whether they will grant a release. And they took the full 30. And in the meantime, another of the signees for Tennessee, Cody Miller, running back from over in Lilburn, Georgia, Parkview High School, had asked for and been granted a full release. Then yesterday, word came that Dylan Brooks had been granted a release from his national letter, but they were not granting him a release from the SEC. And now the SEC has for years had the secondary, I guess, rights or whatever to that schools would have to release them from their SEC obligation to allow them to sign with another Southeastern Conference school. And word yesterday was that Dylan Brooks was released from the national portion, but not allowed to sign with any other, or excuse me, to go to any other SEC school. Because the other thing to keep in mind, I know some folks are going, well, can he now sign with another SEC school? And Auburn has been the school that has been the most talked about because, as we have mentioned on the air, he's related to the McIntyres, Jarris, and his dad, Cedric, who, of course, both played at Auburn. And so the feeling has been if he were to get his release from Tennessee, he'd most likely wind up at Auburn. And that very well may be the case. But one thing that will not happen is he will not sign a national letter with Auburn, because you can only sign one. You can sign a national letter. If you're released from that national letter and you get a complete and full release, you can attend another institution and go on scholarship there. You could sign scholarship papers, but you're not going to sign another national letter of intent. And as we talked about earlier this week, Auburn has now just today concluded its sixth week of the 15-week spring semester. So you're 40% through the semester. It's too late to enroll in school. Plus, Dylan is still in school over at Hanley. But this would allow him to enroll for the first summer session if everything is done as far as, you know, getting approved to enroll in school at that time. But he'd be able to enroll at the first summer session for any school, including Auburn or any other SEC school. So that's something that, you know, a lot of folks had been wondering about. And there's no question Tennessee has taken, and deservedly so, some serious flack for the way it has handled Dylan Brooks. Now, it's not as though Dylan was going to be somewhere in school going through the winter workouts and then spring practice. But still, to basically just ignore him until the last minute and when there is criticism coming from all sides toward Tennessee, to then announce or let it be known to him that he had a full release. So that is the news. And yes, I wouldn't be surprised if Dylan Brooks commits. That would be what he could do. He could commit to another school, but then he wouldn't be bound anywhere until he actually enrolls in classes, and he wouldn't be able to do that until the end of the spring term. So that's some big news there regarding Dylan Brooks. So if Auburn were to add him, that would be a nice addition to the class, because he is one of the top 50 or so prospects nationally, according to recruiting services. So that would definitely, I think that would solidly put Auburn as a top 20 class. And considering the situation Brian Harsin had when he arrived, that would be a big improvement. And you know, it wasn't going to be a ruination of the program if you didn't have a great class, but sure doesn't hurt to get as much quality talent added to it as possible. We mentioned baseball. Wanted to let you know that that softball for today was canceled down in Jacksonville. The Tigers were to have played South Carolina and Jacksonville, but because of rain in the area, they have canceled both of the games that were on schedule for today. And now Auburn will take on number 19 South Carolina tomorrow with first pitch scheduled at 9 Central Time. And they'll then take on Jacksonville at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So those were the two games they were going to play today. And then they were so those were moved to tomorrow, and that will be the two games that they will play. Or initially, they were going to play five games, two today, two tomorrow, one Sunday, so they will just play two games on Saturday. Those contests are going to be played at the University of North Florida softball complex. So that's the softball situation. Also, while we're talking about postponements, and, of course, we'd mentioned that there were obviously no men's or women's basketball games last night. The South Carolina at Auburn equestrian meet, which was scheduled for tomorrow, has been postponed due to a combination of positive tests, contact tracing, and subsequent quarantining of individuals in the South Carolina equestrian program. So they've now rescheduled that for Saturday, March 13th at the Auburn Equestrian Center. So Auburn will be off this weekend. They'll return to competition next Saturday, hosting number 3, Georgia. Meanwhile, in basketball, we had a chance to talk a little earlier with Bruce Pearl, as the Tigers were to have played, you know, Tuesday night and then yesterday afternoon before they were all postponed against Mississippi State. And Bruce Pearl talked about, you know, what the week has been like working, you know, practicing for Mississippi State, and then thinking, well, they probably shouldn't have practiced Sunday once the game was pushed back from Tuesday, continuing to practice for Mississippi State, then to have that postponed, and now getting ready for LSU. He did mention that it's likely, although the SEC hasn't made any official announcement, that the Auburn-Mississippi State game will be rescheduled, as we had been speculating, for Saturday, March 6th. But that's going to depend on what the SEC does to try to make up games for as many teams as possible. And, you know, honestly, they don't have to make up this game for Auburn because Auburn's not going to be participating in the SEC tournament or in the or have any chance at postseason beyond that. So, but the teams they're playing could. So we'll see if that is rescheduled for March the 6th. So if we get a chance a little later on, we'll let you hear the Bruce Pearl time with the media. As we mentioned, Sonny Smith joins me at the bottom of the hour. Tell you what, we'll go ahead and we'll get to our first break and catch up with Scott Bagwell, who, of course, was the voice and eyes for most Auburn fans, Auburn High fans this year, except for the few that were able to be at Duck Sanford Stadium. You know, he got to watch every game because he was calling them for Auburn High, who has now Court Bradley and Powell Gordon, that Court definitely headed to Auburn, and Powell considering a scholarship offer from Auburn. So we'll talk to Scott about that and more, and we'd love to hear from you. The Kia of Auburn hotline is 334-321-1390. That gets you through here on this day and every day to The Drive. And, of course, Kia of Auburn, also the sponsor of hour number one of The Drive, Kia of Auburn on South College, and KiaofAuburn.com, where you're always number one. We'll get to our first break of the Friday Drive. Stick with us as we continue. We'll be right back.
The Drive.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill here in the Wow Business Studio. Got Drew at the controls as always. Again, Dan with Troy women's basketball play-by-play coming up, so he'll be back on Monday. But right now, we're gonna call in the voice of Auburn High School athletics, getting ready for we've got some basketball coming up this evening, but right now want to talk a little football with Scott Bagwell. Hey Scott, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. First of all, I mean, let everybody know what's coming up.
So at 6:30 tonight, Auburn, the boys will host Murphy in the regional semifinals as Auburn looks to punch a ticket to the regional finals and play next Wednesday. But it's a home game due to all the different restrictions. If you can't, if you weren't able to get a ticket, you'll be able to hear all the action on W. Lee as Noah Gardner will bring all that action to you. And, you know, it's an exciting time. It's a little calm before the storm right now in the gym as everybody was able to kind of get away and kind of clear their mind before everything starts at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, it's been an outstanding season for the Tigers so far, you know, good to be playing at home, even though you can't have the packed house.
Yeah, you know, and we're 18-3 on the year. The three losses to number one in 5A Ramsey, who's got a kid going to Mississippi State, a 6'10 wing, lost to Eufaula by 2 points on a game that, to be honest with you, we should have won, and a loss to Smith Station when some things out of our control kind of happened there. And the biggest thing this year is no 3-plus-hour bus ride for a game. We talk about it in football, and it's a big deal then. But with basketball, it feels like a bigger deal to get off the bus after 3.5-4 hours and then have to get ready to go play a basketball game. Definite big advantage for us to be able to play here at home, a place we haven't lost in over 2. The kids play well here, and we're hoping that continues tonight.
Absolutely. And, again, check it out on W. Lee this evening. Wanted to take advantage of Scott, like I was saying a little while ago, you know, for a lot of fans who couldn't make it over to the Duck this year because of the, you know, COVID situation. Scott had the opportunity to watch and, of course, describe all the action this year. And now you're seeing a couple of members of this past year's Auburn High School football team getting the opportunity. One is going to take advantage of a preferred walk-on opportunity in Court Bradley, and then Powell Gordon getting a scholarship offer from Auburn yesterday. Wanted to get your thoughts on those young men, Scott.
So I'll start with Powell. He was a kid I got to coach in eighth grade, and he was defensive end, tight end, and as he's matured, he's turned into pretty much a defensive exclusive player. Last year at the varsity level, he was an undersized defensive end who just had a high motor, and he made plays on effort. He created havoc basically on just sheer will. And then this past year, with after the COVID and quarantine and everything like that, he got bigger, he got stronger, he got faster. And he was able to do it with technique and talent and power. And not only that, he did it from a defensive end. And then when Auburn wanted to go to a 3-3 look, he would become the middle linebacker. Shows you the versatility. He had a pick six on the year. He's comfortable dropping back into coverage. He's comfortable pass rushing. He's comfortable tackling. He's comfortable doing any and it. And he was an absolute stud on special teams going down to cover kicks. When I say this guy can do everything, Powell Gordon on the defensive side of the ball can do everything. It's kind of funny to me. You saw it on the message boards where for a while there was some talk about, well, why doesn't Auburn recruit the local area as well?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, even Stinson from Opelika is committed to Auburn, even though that was under the previous coaching staff. And then Powell Gordon.
Right. Eston Harris is being, you know, Auburn's all over local players right now, it appears.
Yeah, and you know what? I've seen Stinson, I've seen Powell Gordon, and I've heard enough from things about people that I trust about Harris. Those are three good players. And you know what? Mahmoud Diabate, who's at Florida, who's played a lot in his first 2 years there.
Sure has.
I'm not saying that Powell's better than Mahmoud, but after their junior year, Powell is more productive than Mahmoud Diabate was through his junior year. Heck, he's more productive as a junior than Rashawn Evans was as a junior. So if you're going to get caught up in stars and all that, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. Watch the kid's film. Talk to people who have actually been able to see him play. He pops off. He jumps off the film. And he's also a really, really good kid. I'm happy for him. I know it's an offer that he wanted. And if he does end up signing with Auburn, Auburn will get a very, very good football player coming to staying home.
Now, where do you talked about him getting bigger and stronger this year. Where do you see him? Where do you think he'll eventually end up size-wise and position-wise?
He's 6'3 already, and I think he'll stay at the 6'3, 6'4 range. But I do think he's got the frame to put on weight. And I read, and I'm not surprised, that Auburn likes him as a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He's rangy. He's long. He's able to make some plays with the ball in the air. So I think that fits him. The other thing that he can do, if he's outside and in space, he can get after the quarterback. He does that very, very well. You know, at the state final or the state championship, he was one of the best players on the field, and that was with a bunch of 3, 4, 5 stars on the other side of the field for Thompson. You know, right now his best attribute is getting after the pass rusher, but I do think that Auburn's going to use him, especially if Auburn goes in kind of a 3-4 look, that he'll be used as a linebacker, and if it's inside or outside, I'm not really sure, but he's comfortable in space, so that's not something you have to worry about.
Well, that's good. Again, he's been offered a scholarship by Auburn. Quite a few schools will be very interested in this young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as soon as Auburn got the offer to him, I think 20 minutes later, Vanderbilt sent out an offer. So I think you're about to see the offer start to pile up for Powell.
And then mentioned Court Bradley accepting a preferred walk-on invitation. Talk about him. I mean, he was headed to UAB, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was committed to UAB, decommitted, wanted to reevaluate his options. And, he's kind of always been an Auburn guy. He's wanted to go to Auburn for a while. He's, you know, big into aviation. And you know, I think he's working on his pilot's license. He's comfortable flying. And so that area of the school appealed to him as well. So that's why he decided to stay home. And the other thing is he can play. He's a 3-year starter. For Auburn High School at the center position. He's a natural center. It's not like he's a guard moving over or a tackle moving over.
I think that's very important.
He's a natural center.
That's very important. A lot of times you have undersized tackles or something that people want to try to convert into centers.
Yeah, and I think the last time Auburn had a natural center at center was Casey Dunn back in 2017. And I know for a lot of people that might not seem like a big deal to be a quote-unquote natural center, but if that's the position that you played through high school and you developed your talents as a center, calling out the checks and everything like that, it's just so different than learning the position at a Power 5 level. It's it gives Court an advantage. He's a very smart kid. He's a hard worker. I get it's a walk-on spot, but he's going to have an opportunity to come in and play at a position for Auburn, not necessarily in the offensive line, but in particular at center, where Auburn's, you know, they're looking for all the talent that they can get.
So that's nice. I mean, as you said, I mean, there have been a lot of people that wonder, you know, does Auburn forget about its backyard? And good to see the interest. And these guys can play. It's not just, oh, you're throwing a bone out there to somebody locally just to make local folks happy.
Right. It's not a token scholarship offer or an opportunity or anything like that. It's these guys can play. They've earned it. You know, Court had D1 offers. He could have gone to UAB. He could have gone to Air Force. He could have gone to some other places.
Could have gone to Troy,
you know,
I believe.
He's 6'3". Yeah, I mean, he's 6'3", 290. I think he played this year at 310. I think he slimmed down a little bit, but I know he's working hard in the weight room. He's a really darn good football player. For Auburn to get him as a walk-on is an absolute steal. And I think the other thing as far as recruiting in town, I've seen some people say, well, you got the advantage on him. Why not wait and see how they develop this, that, and the other? Well, how has that worked out in the previous years?
Yeah.
You can't get mad and say that, you know, well, you should wait. Then all of a sudden these schools start recruiting these kids hard, and then Auburn's late to the party when they should have been first to the party, and then those kids want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, Dan and I were talking
most
a little. Go ahead. Now, go ahead, Scott.
I'm just going to say most of these guys, they just want to be recruited like they're a normal recruit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be treated like a hometown kid. They want to be treated like they're a big-time prospect and a big-time recruit who just happens to be from 5-10 minutes down the road, as opposed to, he's an Auburn fan. He wants to come here. So I think that's the big thing there is these kids, they want to be recruited hard, and Auburn's starting to change that a little bit.
Yeah, Dan and I were talking a little earlier today, and it's not as though Auburn High School hasn't had any players go D1 or SEC over the last few years.
Yeah.
Who was the last Auburn scholarship position player? Was it Big John? John Sullen?
Yeah, I think that was John Sullen went to Auburn in 2009 with a true freshman and played for that team.
And there have been a couple of guys since then. You mentioned Mahmood. So, yeah, that's a situation where Auburn didn't get on him for a long, long time.
Yeah, and the other thing is, football isn't the only sport. You saw with Garrison Brooks, Auburn didn't get on him until after North Carolina had already kind of gotten involved, after Mississippi State and Kansas and SMU had already, you know, set deep roots and all that. And I get how that recruiting cycle played out with Austin Wiley and everything else. But there were people acting like Garrison Brooks wasn't Auburn good, and that's just false. You know, baseball, you've seen it. Brooks Fuller is at Auburn University now. You have Rowdy Jordan, who has been a 3-year starter at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see that change. Baseball is hard after the Auburn High School baseball program with a couple of commits on that team. So it's good for university kind of going out of the way and to recruit the local schools.
Scott, man, really appreciate the update there. Best of luck to the Tigers this evening.
Thanks. Have a good one, Bill.
All right. Scott Bagwell joining us. Yeah, really good update there on the Auburn High School players. Court Bradley, who will be a walk-on this coming fall. And then Powell Gordon, who's been offered a scholarship. He's a class of 22 prospect. We'll update you on Auburn baseball. Still looking for the first run of the season over at Plainsman Park. We'll update you on that and talk with Coach Sonny Smith when we come back here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill here in the WOW Business Studio. Dan's got Troy women's basketball. He'll be back in Monday. We'll update you on basketball in just a little while. Excuse me, on baseball in just a little while. I'll give you a quick note that Auburn out to a 2-0 lead. Josh Hall, the Ole Miss transfer, with an RBI triple to get Auburn on the board. Then he comes in on a Brody Moore single. We'll talk more and keep you updated on Auburn baseball opening day. But right now, we're pleased to be joined, as we are on Friday afternoons, by Hall of Fame coach Sonny Smith here on the Friday Drive. Sonny, how you doing today?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Bill. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine. It's our pleasure to have you on. It was great to have you back on the air, and you nearly pulled it out against Kentucky.
Kentucky's getting better.
Yeah, they are.
I think they've kind of figured out the roles for everybody, and I think the point guard play has improved to the point that they take care of the ball a little bit better. They're really rebounding the ball, so I think they'd be a tough out once you get to the SEC tournament. And I thought they would get better, but I didn't know. I didn't know if they had the point guard play good enough to keep them in game, especially when it got down towards the end. But they seem to be playing solid basketball right now.
You're right, and it doesn't hurt that they're shooting the ball a whole lot better too. They were a pretty poor 3-point shooting team through most of the conference play. The last couple of ball games, they've stroked it pretty well.
They really have, and you know what? Not hitting them early, like they didn't do. Might made it easier for them to make them now, because they don't defend them as if they were 3-point shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think after this second trip around the league with anybody left that's played them, or if anybody's really been watching lately, they'll try to take those threes away now. They'll make those big guys inside, Saar and the people that can score on the inside, the Jackson, they're going to have to step up just a little bit to make Kentucky be what they want to be down towards the end. And you know what they want to be, what they've always been, great.
Well, but for them, I mean, it's such a bonus, because you didn't really have to worry about their 3-point shooting. Now you're doing it, and it's got to open things up a little bit more inside. So they've got an opportunity. I mean, that's one thing. Even though you look at their record, they've got to feel that, you know, they get on a roll. If they win the tournament, if they can get around 500 or better, they've at least got a chance for the NIT with 16 teams. Or if they win the SEC, obviously you're in the NCAA.
Yeah, I think that NIT, Bill, is going to be a something. I think it's wide open, because so many teams are starting to play well late.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas is playing so much better than they were, and Florida, you never know. It's almost like you never hear them, but they're playing well. And you got
man, Ole Miss and Georgia are really playing well right now.
Ole Miss and Georgia really picked it up, haven't they? And Tennessee saw it almost every night. That's going to be a heck of a tournament, I can tell you that.
And I like it. I mean, I know that it's set up this way because of COVID, but I, you know, Dan and I were talking the other day. I wouldn't mind seeing the NIT just go ahead and stick with a field that is played in with the games all being played there at the Garden. I think that's better than having to determine who's hosting whatever on campus. What a bonus that would be, especially, you know, when travel is better. But I really like the idea of all the games being played there in New York.
Sure, and you're taking away home court advantage for certain teams that needed that maybe as their only chance to win. And I think it's so much better too. And it's so interest will all be in one at one site.
Right.
I like that idea.
I think you could have good crowd, better crowds there. I mean, you're gonna it'd be great to get tickets to see those teams all in one area, you know, all in one venue.
Yeah, exactly. Basketball. You look around the country right now, Bill. Basketball is coming on strong. Teams that you didn't expect to are getting up and making themselves a much better team. So now towards the end, it's going to be something. If you just had to pick a team that just has been well all year, you might have to say Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. But everybody else seems to be Baylor. Might you throw them in there probably, but. This basketball has been really competitive this year.
It really has. We're talking with Sonny Smith here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Let's look at Auburn. It's been a strange week for Auburn, but really it's the first time that Auburn has had to have a game postponed. That's happened all around the conference. And what's really, I guess what's odd is that it wasn't COVID-related. This was weather-related with the icy conditions that there have been all across the country. Nobody was able to play yesterday for men or women after the game was moved back from Tuesday. How much does that affect, you know, a team? Bruce talked about it a little bit today, but starting practice on Sunday for Mississippi State, thinking the game was Tuesday, and then the game gets moved to Thursday, and then you lose it and have to sort of regroup and get ready for LSU.
I think the way the coach handles it and not overworking them, not spending too much on one team or on one system, gets yourself ready and keeps his team fresh. It'll be just like it's always been. But I think he has to do some of those things. And I think that there's not anybody you play right now. Some people say, well, Vanderbilt. Well, you don't even want to play Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt.
There's
somebody you don't want to step in on a court right now with anybody. You better be prepared or you're going to get beat.
Well, now you look at it and you know the next four games are against teams that most likely are going to be in the NCAA tournament, starting with LSU, an extremely talented team.
Well, LSU is, from a talent standpoint, I don't think there's anybody that much better in the league.
I agree.
I think their talent is up there with everybody. And if there's one position that that people, I think, might can take advantage of them is in point guard play. They've got one of their best shooters playing a point. And I've never have liked that. I think the guy that's the point guard needs to be able to be the guy that can spread the ball out to other people. And I'm not sure that the way they're doing it right now with Smart playing the point, he's got to shoot the ball. And I think that could keep them messed up a little bit. Maybe not, because they've been playing good basketball. Will Wade, I think if you look back, Will Wade has been good at getting his teams to play better late. He did that at BCU all the time. And I think he's probably capable of doing that here too.
Well, he's got, when you have the leading scorer in the league and one of the top scorers in the country and Cam Thomas and Watford and Smart, who you were talking about, they're both averaging over 16. I mean, they can score it in bunches. Their problem, some of the problems they had a little earlier is they didn't seem that interested in playing defense, and they could be a little sloppy with the ball. But man, they are long, they're athletic, and they can score it.
Well, they really do. And Watford, he's a tough guy to guard. You don't know how to what to guard him with. Thomas is special in a, in a lot of ways. I was thinking, who is the one guy that you have to take out of the game? Because you're not going to be able to take Thomas and Watford out. But the one guy that needs to be taken out of the game is Darius Day. If they could get keep him away from the board and get him in foul trouble, which he's prone to, I was thinking, who could they possibly get out there? He fouls more than anybody else, and he's one guy that can really rebound a basketball. So that might give us a little bit of an edge if we could get him out of that line.
Yeah, Sonny, I think that's that. You're exactly right. A critical matchup there. Who's able to keep their big or bigs out of foul trouble and be able to really defend the rim and rebound? Because, you know, last time out, it seemed like stepping on the court was a foul for a couple of Auburn players.
Yeah, a real key.
It seemed like every time Cardwell stepped onto the floor, it was a foul within 30 seconds.
Now you think about this, and a lot of people think old Sonny's crazy. That's the one kid that we have got to have, because he protects that rim, and he will make a basket every once in a while, and they need that type of thing. Now you say, well, all those other guys can jump out of the gym, but there's a difference between being physical and protecting the rim, and also protecting the rim from a block shot category. And he's one of those guys. Now Stretch can do the same kind of things, but he cannot score points for you. And I believe this kid can score points. May have to be from the free throw line. He's not great there, but I think he can score points in a game. So if you leave that position unguarded, that really makes it harder on the other four guys. And teams seem to be doing that a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned that matchup. I sure think that if Auburn could get Days in foul trouble and keep Dylan, you know, able to play a few minutes at a time without having to be set because of fouls, that could be a huge factor in the game.
Well, you know what? I think you've hit the nail on the head from a standpoint. The one thing that Auburn cannot stand is to be in foul trouble. That they cannot do it because of the way they play with the aggressiveness and the way they protect the rim. Those are two areas that fouls are created more so than any other place. And if staying out of foul trouble is big, big, big with them. And I tell you, Coach Pearl does a good job of rotating. Mm-hmm. He does a good job of taking care of people with foul trouble. And some of that is a matter of luck, you know, but I think he's really good at doing that type of thing.
Yes. Well, Coach Pearl was talking a little bit about that, and I think he and the staff have done just an unbelievable job. When you look at this team with no seniors and how hard they continue to play, how close they are, the five SEC losses since Sharif has joined the team have been by a total of 15 points, no loss by more than 5 points. That's how close they are.
Yeah. And I think you can associate a great deal of that with the defense. The defense is so consistent, and when they stay out of foul trouble, they do the things you got to do to win a game. They protect the rim well. They keep pressure on the basketball, and they convert using their defense as a scoring machine is something that's been pretty good to them. Deflections, steals, and blocks. And they've done a really good job with that. This team in a lot of ways, when you look at it, Bill, is overperformed, not underperformed.
Yeah, the record, I think the record doesn't show it, but you see how well they've competed against everybody. I don't know that there's another team in the conference. I guess the Alabama would be the only exception, but that hasn't had games where they just were completely taken out of it. And Auburn really has not.
That's exactly right, and that's a point I hadn't heard other people talk about. But that is a great point right there. I like the way. our kids. You look at teams when you coach for so many years, and you say, "I wonder how he's going to play tonight. Is he going to play scared?" I don't see a guy among those freshmen playing like he's scared. Playing like he doesn't know what to do. I think they're prepared so well, and everybody in the coaching field and in other places say the hardest people to prepare are freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's done a remarkable job with his team, being as young as they are, to keep them in every game and keep them on the floor, not on the bench because of foul trouble. You make an answer to this for me. I don't know if they've had anybody foul out in quite a while, that's because they manage their time and situations so well. I was trying to think.
Well, Dylan did. Dylan did.
Fouled out.
Yeah, Dylan did against Kentucky, but you're
Dylan,
right.
Dylan, that's it. Yeah. That's it, yeah. I knew there was one guy that had fouled out. We need Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Stretch is going to give you good minutes, but I think Dylan is a little bit more effective as a defensive play and a possibility of scoring.
Oh, I agree.
Stretch doesn't give you that possibility of scoring, even though he gives you unbelievable effort.
No question. Sonny, I really appreciate you spending a little time with us every Friday. Again, glad that you're back on the broadcast. How's the how's the rehab going?
Today's been my best day. I'm thinking I'm on the way. I'm on the way back now. It took a long time because of the right leg was affected with so many problems, and so I'm ready to go now. I'm walking better and.
That's great.
I'm faking it real good, anyhow.
Well, that's great. Well, we're definitely pulling for you. Looking forward to seeing you, and hoping that that time isn't too far away where we can all hang around together. But it would be fun. I really appreciate you spending some time with us, Sonny. Have a great weekend, a great broadcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We will, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Coach Sonny Smith, joining me as he does every Friday. Great to have him on for that insight, and we really appreciate his time. We'll get to the final break of hour number one here on the Friday Drive. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Come on in.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this nice-looking Friday, and baseball going on over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. And early on, good news for Auburn fans. A good start for the Tigers to the 2021 season as they lead Presbyterian 4-0 going to the fourth inning. Thus far for Auburn, Cody Greenhill on the mound through three innings had allowed just a single and four strikeouts. He just gave up an infield single to start the top of the fourth. So three plus, two hits, no runs, no walks, four strikeouts for Cody Greenhill. For Auburn, we mentioned Josh Hall with an RBI triple and Brody Moore singling him in. Well, as we started talking with Sonny Smith, Judd Ward with a two-run bomb to make it a four-run second, and that's where we stand right now. Auburn leading Presbyterian 4-0. As the Blue Hose bat in the top of the fourth. Again, we will, if we get an opportunity a little later on, we'll let you hear Bruce Pearl as he previews the matchup against LSU tomorrow. Our thanks to Sonny Smith for joining us. So we'll run some Bruce in a little while, talk some more. We'd love for you to join in. Your thoughts on the football news of the day. Dylan Brooks, the outstanding Handley defensive end, outside linebacker, finally getting his full release from Tennessee. It took them long enough. Took them 30-plus days. And I wonder, had there not been some backlash if they would have just gone ahead and kept with their initial plan. According to a couple of reports, Dylan Brooks was told by Josh Heupel and Rodney Garner that he could transfer to any school except an SEC school, that he was given a national release but not released from the SEC. And then today word comes that Tennessee has now granted him a full release. Don't know if Danny White, the AD, decided to overrule or what, or if maybe they were just saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Tennessee was thinking, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to think that he's going to be happy. He sure wasn't going to stay at Tennessee. I mean, that's one thing that's been really obvious from all of his comments on social media and to any members of the media, was that that was it. He was done with Tennessee. He wanted to go somewhere else. That may not be Auburn. It appears that it will be Auburn. But now it could be anywhere that he wants to go. So he and Cody Brown have both received their releases. There have been some questions about another Tennessee signee who was also an earlier Auburn signee. An Auburn commitment, Jamarian Gooch. Remember the giant offensive lineman, the 6'8", 330 or 340-pound offensive lineman who had committed to Auburn early last year, and then as we got closer to the season, switched that and then signed with Tennessee in December. And Jamarian Gooch has changed some things on social media, has pulled Tennessee off social media. Will he be next to ask Tennessee for a release? Well, we'll see. But the good news for Dylan Brooks and his family is now he's free to go wherever he wants. Again, he won't be able to sign. He'll just enroll and be able to go on financial aid at the school of his choice. We're halfway done here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Again, right now, Auburn baseball leading Presbyterian 4-0, top four with a runner at first base and one out. Softball rained out today. They'll play two tomorrow. We've got the Bruce Pearl audio and your calls in hour number two here on the Friday Drive, so come on in.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. It is opening day for baseball, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on over at the ballpark. Presbyterian on the board for their first run of the season with two outs in the top of the fourth, pushing a run across against Cody Greenhill, who got off to an outstanding start, only one base runner through the first three innings. But they have now scored an unearned run on a wild pitch after a failed pickoff attempt. That's one of the things baseball-wise that bothers me. To me, that's an earned run. If the pitcher makes an error or the pitcher makes a bad throw on a pickoff and the run scored, I say that's an earned run. But whatever. It's a run, and now Auburn out of it, Greenhill out of it. After three and a half, Auburn now leading Presbyterian by the score of 4-1. Hour number two of The Drive is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And again, here in the WOW Business Studio, where you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Dan down in Troy getting ready for Troy women's basketball. I've got it solo here in the studio, but Drew's at the controls, and we're wide open. Welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Updating you on a couple of news items of the day. We talked with Scott Bagwell about Powell Gordon, the outstanding Auburn junior who has been offered a scholarship by the Tigers. And Scott, not the only person I've heard compare the progress at this point of Powell Gordon to Mahmoud Diabate after his junior year. Got his thoughts on Powell Gordon and the a little analysis of Court Bradley, who's accepted a preferred walk-on invitation to Auburn. So so we appreciate Scott being with us. And, of course, Sonny Smith was with us at the bottom of last hour. And if you missed either of those, you can catch them on the podcasts of The Drive that are brought to you by the Ag Tag. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can pick them up, download the show from the Podcast Center at ESPNAU.com, the ESPN 106.7 app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. So check those out if you missed any of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to The Drive. Dylan Brooks, a free man, the outstanding defensive end, outside linebacker, if you will, from Hanley High School in Roanoke, finally gets his complete release from Tennessee, and I think most expect him to wind up at Auburn. We'll talk more about that. Anything on your mind, let's get to the phones, and Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Bill, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, man. You?
I'm doing well. Bill, what is the likelihood? I agree with you too about the pitcher throwing over to first base, a pickoff attempt. Also, I don't believe at all there's enough tagging from second to third.
You don't believe that they enforce it or?
No, I don't believe there's enough of it going on. There's opportunities for runners on second.
Okay, I see what you mean. Moving up a base when the opportunities. Yeah, guys actually get too far off the bag and then don't have a chance to come back and tag up and go. You're right.
I've always felt like that. So, could you put a percentage, or would you feel comfortable putting a percentage that Dylan Brooks ends up at Auburn?
Very, very high. I would say, right now my feeling is over 90%.
Oh wow. Okay. That's sure. Okay.
You got to remember. I mean, Auburn was very high on his list for a long time. I think he was concerned when the. When all the talk about Gus's future, how long was he going to be able to be around? And the fact that, I mean, you know, he's sort of, I mean, it's Auburn's in the family. He's related to Jerison Cedric McIntyre.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, he's more an outside linebacker or defensive end. What size is he?
He's 6'5", 250. So he's that outside linebacker, really, sort of, if you will, that Jack or whatever you want to call him in the 3-4, that type outside linebacker.
Right.
Or a rush end, yes.
And, Bill, who was the guy you were talking about a moment ago? I come in at the end of your talking about a tackle. I guess he signed with Tennessee, a big, gigantic
Yeah,
guy.
Jamarian Gooch. He's out of North Carolina, I believe. But, he's 6'8", 330 or 340. Was an Auburn commitment last summer. And then sort of the same thing as, you know, when Auburn lost to South Carolina, it's like, well, Tennessee was really pushing him. And, you know, at that time, Jeremy Pruitt had just gotten the extension. They'd won however many ball games in a row, and he sort of jumped on that bandwagon and signed with Tennessee in the early signing period. And today he has changed his social media. He's removed all mentions of Tennessee from his social media. So, I mean, just some speculation that, you know, maybe he'll be sort of joining in with Cody Brown, the running back, and Dylan Brooks in looking for a release from his from his NLI.
That would be very interesting. And did you say 6'8", 330, 340, something
yes.
like that? That's
mm-hmm.
enormous.
Yeah, he is a gigantic
lineman,
young man.
If I'm looking for a place to play, Auburn's got much more of a need at tackle than Tennessee does.
Yeah, you're right. I completely agree.
If playing time is a factor, and that usually is.
Actually, he's from Tennessee. He's from Gallatin, Tennessee. And his official size was 6'7.5", 358. He's big. He's a big man.
That's a big young man. Yeah.
So, I mean, right, you know, so he stayed home and signed with the in-state school, but still
sure.
The concerns now about what's going to happen with them with the NCAA.
That's was the guy named DJ Fluker, when he like that?
You're right. He was 350 plus out of Foley, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was just humongous. And I don't know if he's still in the NFL or not. Is he, Bill, do you know?
I'm not sure that he is.
I'm not sure. I don't keep up with that closely. And, you know, because guys on the offensive line, they don't always give the lineups, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. So, Well, I appreciate it, Bill. You have a great weekend, man.
All right, Terry, appreciate the call. No, I guess he's still with the Ravens, DJ is. And he is now in the NFL. He's not listed as tall as he was when he was at Alabama, but he's still 340. The Ravens list him at 6'5", 340. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Again, we have some audio from Bruce Pearl that we can get to. I tell you what, why don't we'll go ahead and let you hear.
211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill here in the Wow Business Studio. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
How you doing? I was listening to the thing about Dylan Brooks, and I was thinking, but if the Tennessee football program was a soap opera, I don't think I'd miss an episode.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin, I had to write them down with some Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and now Heupel. Now, the thing about the last three, none of them were proven winners.
Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, you left Jeremy Pruitt out. First became known back in the old days of two-a-days as an assistant coach there at Hoover.
But none of those last three coaches were winners at a big school. And I think there's definitely a difference between a big school like Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama than where some of them came from. I was surprised, given their situation and constant never picking the right person, that they didn't. I mean, from a financial standpoint, I don't see how they operate anymore because they're still paying half, some of those people. I was surprised they could have got. Now, say what you want about Gus, he'll give you a winning season.
Oh, he's never had a losing season.
They could have got Gus for pocket change.
Well, they could have. I actually think under the circumstances, they did as well or better than I thought they would. First of all, Danny White is a very highly respected administrator and AD. Comes from a family. You know, his dad's the AD at Duke. He's got a brother that's an AD, and his other brother is the basketball coach at Florida. So I thought that was a big pickup for them. And then I understand how he get Josh Heupel, but yeah, they don't. Now they may not be in quite the financial straits yet because, you know, in letting everyone know that they had cause, they weren't planning on paying the full buyout to Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. But I think they're still paying Butch Jones.
Yeah, I think they are. Now that he's at Arkansas State, he's still getting a little from them, right?
Yeah, it's just, I was just surprised. I mean, you know, if that was a business, they'd been bankrupt a long time ago.
You're right about that. Their stock would have plummeted. I mean, it has plummeted a lot.
I heard somebody on another show say something like that. Here's the thing about it. They brought in Josh Heupel. He's never won at a big school either.
No, he hasn't. I mean, it's one of those things that it works some of the time, and other times it doesn't.
At Tennessee, it seems like it never does.
No, but nothing has seemed to work at Tennessee since for the last 12 years.
That was always a fun trip to go to. I don't wish them any ill feelings, but it just seemed like I'd never seen like that. They just, you know, we thought we had problems with.
Yeah, be thankful. That's right. Be thankful that you haven't been Tennessee for the last dozen years.
Anyway, I enjoy the show, and have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks for the call. Things have been tough there. I mean, they're trying to avoid – I guess they're trying to avoid paying the full buyout to Jeremy Pruitt, but how much is it costing them depending on what the NCAA does to them, you know, now that they've admitted – that they found cause to fire Jeremy Pruitt. It's costing them players. Man, they are losing players all over the place, you know, from the roster, from now their signing class. So, and I don't think it's done for Tennessee either. Updating you on baseball over at Plainsman Park. Auburn leading 6-3 in the top of the sixth, and Auburn product Brooks Fuller now on the mound, replacing Cody Greenhill. Mentioned Cody went the first five, gave up a two-out homer in the fifth, but his line for the day, 5 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts and a walk, and 1 wild pitch. 73 pitches, and that's exactly what Butch Thompson had said, somewhere in the 70-75 pitch mark for his starters this weekend. So Cody with, I believe, his first collegiate start. Very impressive. I'm sure he's kicking himself a little bit for giving up that two-out, two-run homer in the fifth. Had a chance to get out of it with no earned runs on the day. Meanwhile, at the plate for the Tigers, Judd Ward, 2-for-3 on the day with a homer. Josh Hall, 1-for-2, the transfer from Ole Miss, 1-for-2 with a triple. Let's see, Judd Ward, Bryson Ware with 2 RBIs each. Bryson, by the way, hitting out of the three-hole, 2-for-3 with a couple of ribbies. Josh Hall with an RBI triple. Brady Moore with an RBI single. Auburn with 7 hits, 6 runs through 5. Auburn leading at 6-3 in the top of the sixth. We'll keep an eye on that. Take your calls. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. And, you know, we'll take your calls and see how things go here in the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of the Friday Drive. Updating on baseball over at Plainsman Park. Auburn has broken the game open with a 4 spot in the bottom of the sixth, and they have yet to get the ball out of the infield. This has been a crazy bottom of the sixth. Presbyterian went to a reliever who came in, gave up an infield single to Josh Hall, and then a double play ball that appeared that was booted by the shortstop, put runners at first and second, a bunt single by Judd Ward, and then a walk, a hit batsman, and another walk. That did it for the reliever. So he faced 6 batters, got nobody out. Then they bring in a left-handed reliever who gets a ground ball to first base, which scores another run, and now a ground ball back to the pitcher, but the runners hold. So it's not like Auburn has pounded the ball. They have not gotten the ball out of the infield in the sixth inning, but they have 4 runs in, runners at second and third, and now 2 down, and they lead Presbyterian by the score of 10-3. So it looks like it'll be a victorious start to the 21 baseball season. Basketball tomorrow. We've had another postponement in the SEC. Arkansas at Texas A&M has been postponed because of COVID problems in the Texas A&M program. Here's your schedule for tomorrow. Kentucky is at Tennessee in a 12 o'clock game. That could be interesting. Vandy at Alabama, that's a noon game on the SEC network. At 1 o'clock, Missouri at South Carolina, 2:30 Georgia at Florida, the Auburn-LSU game, a 3 o'clock game. Don't forget, after the game, following that right here on ESPN 106.7. And then at 5 o'clock, Mississippi State at Ole Miss. We're out of time here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Our thanks to Sonny Smith, Scott Bagwell for joining us. Dan will be back on Monday. Brian Matthews joins us as well from AuburnSports.com as we recap the full weekend of all the sports news. And we hope you'll join us then. But that's going to do it for the Friday edition of The Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.